If anyone thirsts for more than this world, more than ourselves, more than this life, for true satisfaction, for life eternal, let him come to me, Jesus says. Only Jesus can give the living water that rescues us from sin. Whoever, notice, believes, not works for salvation, whoever believes in Christ.
Hey again, radio family, or podcast people, if that's where you're at. We are back in the book of Isaiah today, digging into chapter 44 with a message called Streams on the Dry Ground. And that's a pretty good visual for me, right, Robbie? A stream of water makes a world of difference to a dry and thirsty ground, giving life and freshness where it wasn't before.
Amen. I do love that imagery so much. It actually causes my heart to beat a little faster when I see those in Scripture, Shannon. And this is what is so found in Scripture so often. Streams on the dry ground. The promises of God, pictures of renewal and revival. And I love how you start off our radio family. That's what we are here to live. In the light, man. I love meeting Live in the Light listeners who have become renewed with the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, and I can see the joy on their faces. That's what this is all about. So, Lord, keep doing it. And today, now, in Isaiah chapter 44, man, a couple of verses, wow, they mean so much to me. God is making promises today, okay? Loved ones, listen up. God is making promises. Part of the promise is I will pour water upon the dry ground. I will, again, put streams in the desert. God is making promises. I will pour my spirit upon your offspring. I will pour my blessing upon your descendants. Here's the question. Do you believe God is true to his word? I do, and I've been praying this prayer a lot, and he's asking us to press in and to keep believing and trusting in him that he wants to do awesome things, listen, in your life, in your marriage, in your family, in your church, in your community, and yes, your nation. And so, Lord, we continue to pray to you. May you take today's message, man, just cause people to be filled with faith, not to look at ourselves, but to look at you. God, take this series, use it mightily. Raise up an army of men and women and children praying for the things that only you can do. Obviously, Shannon, we're pretty excited about this because this is the heart of why we're here on this station at Live in the Light, to see God's word renew and ignite people with faith for the things that only Jesus Christ can do. So, Lord, may it be so. Encourage your people here today through Isaiah 44. May it be so.
Yes, and God promises water as life-giving for us, and he wants us to hold tight to his promises. So open your Bible for me, if you can, to Isaiah 44, and let's get wet.
Amen. Please open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 44. Isaiah 44, we'll be studying and applying verses 1 to 5 today, primarily verses 1 to 5. So glad to be together to do this. So it's no secret that I love nature shows. I have since I was young, even more so since I've been saved. I remember watching this one nature show, and it was based in the interior of Africa, and it was documenting this land that was going without rain day after day, week after week, month after month, and this geographical landscape became so dry and so parched and seemingly without life. You know, it's kind of depressing to watch something when it happens like that, where it used to have some vitality, but then the life-giving water ceases to flow or fall upon that land, and just everything becomes dry and dusty and barren and just really without hope. That's kind of how you feel as you watch such a landscape. But they were documenting this season where at a certain time of year, the torrential rains begin, but they don't begin on the land itself. That's like a desert now. They begin, like, let's say, on mountains that are 100 miles away. But the rains come in such force, and as they hit the mountains, they rush down the mountains in kind of like, you know, rivers flooding down at a great pace. And they hit the land, and the water starts to flow out, of course, by its gravity. And then what they document is how these rivers and streams reach this piece of land that was so lifeless.
and just dead. And when the water comes in, and as the water comes in, everything the water touches, it brings life. It was really breathtaking to watch as you see not just like a few drops, but you see rivers enter in to this parched, lifeless land. And as the rivers enter in and the animals return and the life that is bursting forth, it's nothing short again of looking at revival. It's just awesome. And I remember as I'm sitting there watching this, that the greenery that is established through the living water that reaches, it's so powerful. It's visible now from space. And the transformation of a land again in this way is nothing short of breathtaking. What once was dead is revived, and revived to abundant life at that. I've always loved such videos to watch the transformation literally and physically, but I've always thought the reason I love it so much too is because God provides so often such literal metaphors for us to look at on earth to apply it to our spiritual realities and our souls in life. And this is one of them for sure. Our text today is no exception, where God is promising water on thirsty land. He is promising to send streams on dry ground. And wherever his living water, whatever his living water touches, every time there's life, there's vitality, there's strength, there's renewal. And yes, whenever the living water of Jesus Christ touches something, it is revived, because that's what he does. The transformation is undeniable, and the impact is eternal. So God is making promises today. And here's what I really, really believe for us. God is making promises to us today, and he wants us to hold him to his promises. He wants us to take him at his word. Isaiah 44, verse 1, please look with me. "But now hear, O Jacob, my servant Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus says the Lord, who made you, who formed you from the womb and will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. Why should they not fear? Verse 3, for I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. I will, God says. They shall spring up among the grass like willows by flowing streams." What a beautiful image that is. "This one will say, I am the Lord's. Another will call on the name of Jacob, and another will write on his hand, the Lord's, and name himself by the name of Israel." As we approach such a text today, I believe we must be bold. We're going to frame it in terms of the promises that God is making to those who are his from this text. Three promises today from Isaiah 44, verses 1 to 5. The first promise from God to you today, alive in him, is this: I've got you. God is saying to you today from his word, I've got you. I like that phrase, I got you. I like to say it often. It's meant to say, like, I'm here for you. I'll protect you. I'm for you. It's a phrase that's often said to a friend, or a brother to a brother, or maybe a father to a son. I really do like it. I got you, man. I got you. I got you, son. It's pretty powerful when a father says that to a son, an earthly father to an earthly son, and says, as much as it depends on me, I got you, son. What about, though, when the person saying it is not an earthly father, but happens to be our Father in heaven, who's the King of the universe, who's the Lord of glory, who's the maker of heavens and earth, who's the creator of a billion stars, who's the one who speaks and life exists, the one who's completely sovereign over every human being who ever lived, the one who's deciding history, the one who sent his son to live and die and be raised from the dead, the one who will allow his son to return and gather all of them to himself. What if that father, the king of the universe, what if he says to you today, I promise you, I've got you. No matter what happens, no matter what heartache you go through, no matter what suffering you experience, no matter what difficulties you endure, at the end of the day, child, I've got you. And I will prove that again and again, he says, in the glory that awaits you in perfection forever. What happens when that father says that? It's pretty darn powerful is what it is. Verse 1, but now hear, O Jacob, my servant Israel, whom I have chosen. Look at how personal and intimate our God is. Thus says the Lord who made you, who formed you from the womb and will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant. Jeshurun is another name for Jacob or Israel with intimacy, whom I have chosen. In essence, what's happening in verses 1 and 2, this is supernatural assurance given by the Lord God Almighty to his children. I want you to notice this is a contrast, though, from the verse that came just before it. In chapter 3, verse 28, if you take a look there, in chapter 43, verse 28, it says, therefore, I will profane the princes of the sanctuary and deliver Jacob to utter destruction and Israel to reviling. What's happening there? Why is there such a contrast? Well, here's what's happening. Those who refuse the love of God, those who reject the salvation of God, those who through unbelief and stubborn human pride that say, I need no God, the ones that stare the life and gift of grace of Jesus Christ in the face and say, no, I don't want it. I don't want you. I don't want salvation. I'm good. I'm my own God. Those are the ones that pass over the forgiveness of sins. And the Bible tells us, because it's true, they are headed for utter destruction because they have not received the gift of love offered by God to save those from themselves. But for those who love the Lord, for those who receive his grace, for those who believe in the Son, Jesus, that lived and died and rose again and shed his blood for you, for those who see Christ as Savior and they believe again in him by grace through faith, they are the ones that will have the love of God poured out into them by the Holy Spirit. They are the ones who receive the love of God because they choose to receive the gift of grace. They are the ones who hear such promises in verses 1 and 2 of Isaiah 44, and they know it's for them because they know they're not God. And they know they need a Savior to save them from their sins in this one short life that they live. And they are the ones, again, that will experience the life-changing love of Jesus Christ the Lord, which was brilliantly testified 3 times here in this very service. Listen to the intimacy of our God toward his children here. In verse 1, Israel, whom I have chosen. When the Hebrew there says chosen, that's in the perfect tense, which means it's pointing to a completed action. When God says to his children, I have chosen you, in the perfect tense, means no one and nothing. You have to hear this. And you have to celebrate and be so humbled by it. When God Almighty places his arms around you as his child, there is no one ever that will ever be able to loosen his embrace upon your heart and your life. God's arms are so infinitely strong and massive and eternal. Whenever he embraces a child, he will never let go. New Testament, Romans 8. Nothing will ever be able to separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Nothing will ever life or death, angels or demons, nothing will ever be able to separate you as a genuine child of God from the love of God that is only found in Christ Jesus. He says, Jacob, whom I have chosen. He then says, I made you. How about that, eh? I formed you from the womb. How awesome is that? Do you think God is invested in your well-being as his child? Do you think the Father cares for you as his child? I made you. I formed you in the womb. He loves you. Every cell in your body he made. Every heartbeat of your existence he's responsible for. Every tear he keeps in a bottle, the Bible tells us. But God's not done. He then says, he who formed you from the womb, ready? He says, he will help you. God's promise to us today, alive in Jesus Christ, to receive the gift of faith and life in him. His promise is, child, I've got you. He says to you today personally, I've got you. I want you to turn back one maybe page in your Bible to Isaiah 43. Verse 1, a wonderful cross-reference for our passage today. Isaiah 43, 1. Notice, but now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. Look at this, you are mine. You are mine. How awesome is that? You are mine. Listen to this. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned. And the flame shall not consume you. Why? For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Verse 4, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. Verse 5, fear not, for I am with you. Now notice what God is saying to his people. He's saying there will be waters. There will be storms. There will be rivers. There will be fire, and in this life, there will be flames. But through all of this, there will be the Lord with you. It is so true. He will help you. And how do we know? Because again and again and again, he has helped us in our lives. It's who he is. It's what he does. He helps us. Just this week, he helped me. Preparing this message, he helped me. Monday night, woke up middle of the night, here comes the darkness. Here comes the accusation. Here comes the exhaustion. Here comes the temptation. Here come the voices. I'm just honest with you, I like to be vulnerable with you from time to time. I just think it's healthy. I just want you to know. I struggle as much as anyone else. And in that dark moment, I remember waking up and just like, oh man, like you just feel so tired. You just feel so defeated. You're just trying to get through and go along and say, Lord, you know, we're in this series where we're studying revival in Isaiah. And there's so many other things we can do, but just so aware, spiritually speaking, the intensity, the reality, what the Spirit of God wants to do, what the enemy's trying to prevent. You just, I'm sitting there and just by myself alone at my study desk with this outline in front of me and this passage and just feeling so broken. So helpless, so weak, so unable. Father, just I love more and more recently too. I love crying out to God, just talking to him as a friend, saying, Father, you know I can't do this. Like, you know this is impossible. This nothing's going to happen apart from you. And just admitting to him, Lord, I feel so weak right now. I hate the accusation that comes against me, and I hate the darkness that seems to just discourage so deeply. And just crying out to him, and tears of brokenness filling my heart and my face, and saying, Lord, you know I can't. And at that moment, as this first point staring me in the face, beginning to write that day, it's like the presence of the Lord filled my heart and came into that office, and it wasn't audible, but it was so clear. Robbie, I've got you. And the presence comes in, I'm telling you, man, in that moment, the strength replaces the weakness, and the affirmation replaces the accusation, and the hope replaces the fear or despair. and things changed in a moment. It is so humbling to be in a place as a frail, sinful, weak, finite sinner to sense the love and intimacy and affection and kindness of the King of the universe, who comes near and says, I've got you. And today he says that to you right now in your situation, in your state of dependence and desperation. He says in love to you today through Isaiah 44, his promise to you is not an easy life. His promise to you is not without trial and suffering. His promise to you is not everything is going to work out as you and I want it to. His promise to you, though, is I've got you to the end. I have made you. I formed you. I will help you. I love you. I care for you. The promise of God making to those who trust in him, who believe in him, who belong to him. It's amazing to me after this, in verse 2, fear not. And he repeats servant, and he repeats chosen. Why does he repeat those? He's reiterating the comfort. What he's doing, his people may not believe it. He says it again. There's some people here right now, you need to hear it again. You hear it, you don't believe it. He says it again. You're my servant. I've chosen you. I love you. Fear not, I am with you. And he proves that over and over again. Can I just briefly apply right now in this section? How should we respond to such love from God to us? Should we not respond to such love from him to us with such love back to him? How do we respond to such affection from him to us? Should we not respond with such affection back to him? Should not God have first place in our lives? Should not God have our best? Should not the God who's loved us and saved us, has redeemed us and rescued us and graces us and pours his mercy upon us and loves us even right now, should he not have our gratitude? Should he not have our worship? Should he not have our first and foremost? Should he not? Surely he should. And all those who understand and see the love that we've been given, our only response is want to love in return. That's why it's the greatest commandment in scripture. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The first promise lays the foundation for the second promise. Promise number 2, I will pour out my blessing upon you. I will pour out my blessing upon you. Look at verse 3 now. Verse 3, for I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your offspring and my blessing upon your descendants. Now, these two verses, church, I would not rush through. You should stare at them. You should read them over 100 times. You should meditate on them. You should consider these verses, the promises that God is making. Do you realize what just happened there? As we read verse 3, particularly, God just handed you a check. He filled out the check and he signed it. He told you how much it's worth and he just handed it to you and me. He handed us a check. I will pour water on thirsty land. I will pour my spirit upon your offspring. I believe and I think he is asking us to cash the check. The wonderful promises that God is making right here of revival in our passage. He is promising to pour out blessing. Notice, not dust or mist or sprinkle, to pour out blessing of abundance and generosity upon his children. This leads us, though, to a couple of great questions. And on the screen beside me, behind me here, pour out to whom, though? Who is he promising to pour out to whom? Notice, he's promising to pour out to the thirsty. Look at verse 3 again. I will pour water on the thirsty land. I think we need to acknowledge thirsty here. It was Jesus who said in Matthew 5, the greatest sermon ever given, Jesus said it in the Beatitudes, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. If we don't hunger and thirst for Christ, then we will continually be empty in life, as testified today through baptism. blessed, fulfilled, happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. So this is why then the amount of yes, churches and yes, people who are passed over and miss God's blessing. Why? This is true. Churches and people who profess Christ will be passed over in God's blessing and miss his satisfaction. Why? Why? Here's why. Because they are so filled with worldliness and self-obsessed pleasure, there's no room for thirst for God. If our lives are constantly digesting the world, there's obviously no thirst for God. And therefore, we don't have his power in our churches or our lives. We must thirst. What Jesus said in John 7, this is such a fantastic verse. We say it often. Jesus says, here's the condition. If anyone thirsts for more than this world, more than ourselves, more than this life, for true satisfaction, for life eternal, let him come to me, Jesus says. Only Jesus can give the living water that rescues us from sin. Whoever, notice, believes, not works for salvation. Whoever believes in Christ, as the scripture so clearly has said, here's the promise, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water, which is what? Which is about the Spirit of God, as it says right there. But you have to thirst. You have to thirst. Thirst for the living God. The Holy Spirit fills those who are thirsty for him. Oh, to be a church that thirsts for the living God. Psalm 63 on the screen for you, a verse that meant so much to us as a church, really since our very, very beginning. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you as in a dry and weary land. Notice where there is no water. You know what? It's amazing to watch the thirsty, isn't it? When those who are truly thirsty, they stop at nothing to drink. The thirsty find wells. The thirsty find wells. They will find a way to quench their thirst. The thirsty will see rivers in the desert. The thirsty will witness streams on the dry ground. What's one of the best ways that we prove to God that we're thirsty? One of the best ways we prove to God that we're thirsty is that we pray. We pray and we tell the Lord that we are thirsty. This is why last Wednesday we met at 7:30 upstairs in the youth area and we prayed through Isaiah 43. That's why this Wednesday at 7:30 in here, we're gonna pray through Isaiah 44 verses 1-5. And part of that prayer meeting is we're going to demonstrate to the Lord that we are thirsty. We are going to show him and declare to him that we need him to do what only he can do. That's this Wednesday at 7:30.
Hey, if you're looking for more Bible teaching, we have many of Pastor Robbie's previous Live in the Light messages available for you to listen to at any time on our website, liveinthelight.ca. We also have our daily program in podcast form so you can listen easily on the go or hanging out at home. If you have any questions about who we are or want to share a story about what God is doing in your life, we would love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-844-22-LIGHT or use the contact page on our website. Catch you next time here at Live in the Light. I wanna be-